Yo, what's going on? Checking in again with my coaches, Sage and Sandy of Higher Running. And we are now, at the time of filming, about 2 weeks away from the London Marathon. All the hard work is done and we're entering in the taper, so I thought it'd be a great time to check in with my coaches once again. Sage and Sandy, how are you? Let's start with you, Sage. What's going on?
Doing well. Yeah, you've been progressing nicely, and it's been a lot of hard work over the last several months. And yeah, excited to see what you could do. I know you're a busy guy, so thanks for having us on.
Good to see you. Sandy, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Like, we just watched a cool solar eclipse, so it's a good way to start a Monday.
Yeah, every week should start this way.
Yeah.
I think let's just jump right into it. So the last time we talked, I think, was maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. And since then, kind of like the intensity of the training plan definitely turned up quite a bit. We'd started out, I think, doing a lot of shorter, faster stuff, although shorter, faster stuff, but longer than what I normally do in terms of the faster stuff. And then that switched to some of the longest runs and a lot of some marathon pace work, but still a lot of like longer, fast stuff. Is that like a good way to kind of like synopsize the last couple of weeks, would you say, Sandy?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. We definitely still had you do some short workouts. We did switch. We typically like do a rotation. So you definitely saw some tempos and then, or lactate threshold for some people. I know like tempos can get confusing depending on your definition, and then some like more marathon paced work. So yeah, we like kept the speed in, but we shifted the focus a little bit more to some longer stuff.
And I felt like I liked the long runs. They were a little bit different. Not terribly different from what I normally do, but there was less kind of like just easy miles in the long runs. And so like a lot of the long runs, it was kind of like work the entire time, like almost 3 hours of running versus a little bit different than I would normally have, maybe like an hour to an hour and 15 minutes of hard work. And then the rest would be easy miles for the rest of my long run. So I felt like that was a change that I like, because then the long run gets over a little bit faster and you kind of get to feel a little bit more of the fitness. That's what I experienced of it on my end. But Sage, like, can you tell me like a little bit more like physiologically, what's the difference or the benefit that you think of in having like, instead of like mostly easy miles in a long run, having kind of almost everything at some sort of a little bit faster than easy all the way up to marathon pace?
So it gets a little bit tricky. I mean, you're at the stage where you're like, you're a fast guy, you're a sub-3 hour marathon runner, going for, you know, significantly under three. You've already run 2:56. So you're at kind of a more advanced level in your training compared to like someone who might be trying to crack 4 hours or even, you know, running 3:30 in the marathon. And because you're also running pretty high mileage, you know, 70, 80 miles a week, you've averaged 75 miles a week for the last month, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And your experience level, we like to challenge you a lot on long runs, especially. And that's kind of the difference with the individualized training plans that are coaching with Higher Running, is that you're running, you're teaching your body to run fast on tired legs when you really don't want to, because you're not tapered. You've been running high mileage. You've been doing these faster speed workouts at low 6 minute mile pace or sub 6 minute per mile pace. And then on these long runs, we're challenging you to run 22 miles, 23 miles sometimes, and do a lot of miles around marathon pace effort or even faster. So it kind of makes it challenging for your muscle fibers, your skeletal muscular system. We're trying to make your legs really, really strong and your muscle fibers be able to move fast on tired legs. But we're also trying to drain your glycogen stores. So you're really getting close to like hitting the wall in these long runs, and you're really suffering mentally. Like, it's a big challenge. Some of the long run workouts that I used to do before marathon training are harder than the race. The race is going to be the icing on the cake and the reward, and you could hopefully float through these miles, whereas in the workouts, you might be really suffering at, you know, the half marathon point, 12, 15 miles into a long run. And yeah, you're just learning to spare your glycogen better, learning how to fuel and hydrate on a long run and mentally get through it, and then really challenge yourself aerobically, especially with all the pounding and the leg turnover. So there's a neuromuscular component, getting the speed up and getting that running economy efficiency up so that you'll be prepared for it on race day.
Well, I certainly felt all the things that you said I should be feeling in terms of feeling like I'm getting close to the wall, feeling like I'm depleting glycogen stores, and definitely feeling like I'm running on tired legs. But I also felt like, and maybe this is just kind of coming from what were my strengths versus what were some of more of my weaknesses. I felt like I did the best on the long runs that you guys had assigned to me. I'm not sure I always hit all the paces, but I always felt like I was doing closer to what was prescribed for the long run. So I felt pretty good about that. What, Sage, what do you think? What would kind of like evaluate what you think I did for some of those longer runs? There was two, I think the two longest runs were two 22 milers. Like what is your overall take on those?
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna hit some exactly on, you're gonna miss some. It's kind of it's a tricky dynamic thing with coaching, because we want to challenge you. And we realize that, you know, things aren't going to go 100% to the plan or the prescribed paces. I know in one of those long runs, it was like windy and rainy, or you just got back from a trip, so you're like jet lagged. So, you know, life happens. As long as you're in the ballpark and you're relatively close and you're putting in the effort, that's really what's important. People worry, you know, if they're off by 5 seconds a mile or something like that. That could be a difference in what shoes you wore, or how the wind direction was going, or if you were dehydrated or something like that, or just, you know, some days you're feeling more mentally motivated than others. Some days it just hurts more than others. But I'd say, you know, you were relatively close. Even on the ones that you missed, it was a slight miss, right? It wasn't like this total meltdown disaster. And like, sometimes you have to cut it a mile short or something because you got to rush off to pick up your kids or do something, or you just weren't feeling it. You know, you got in a 3 mile out of 4 mile rep, it was good enough. And that's really the key thing, is that you got in the work, you were consistent, you're staying healthy. We don't want to get you injured. Like, we're thinking long term. Like, we don't want to mentally burn you out totally. You're working really hard. We don't want to get you injured. We don't want you to get sick. So keeping you healthy and consistent is really the most important thing. And then the workout paces, the exact details, that kind of matters less. It does matter because we want you to run fast, but you know, it was solid enough, I'd say. I don't know. Coach Sandy, what do you think?
I fully agree with that. Yeah, like sometimes I would look at the comments and be like, oh, maybe this didn't go well. And then I looked at your Strava and I'm like, oh, this actually went just fine. Like if you were off pace, it was barely off. And like for one of the long runs, I'm like, if it would have been flat and like not windy, like you would have been right on the paces. So even though like I know it was those workouts are challenging, like all of them went pretty well.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear you guys say that, because I feel like I kind of like didn't hit a lot of them. Although I feel like more towards the longer run stuff that's more kind of marathon pace work, I felt pretty confident in that. But it was like the thing that I found most challenging and the stuff that's the most new to me is kind of like longer reps at like faster, or like around half marathon pace, or maybe even a little bit faster. Like this, the last long run that you guys had me do, which was like 17 miles or so, had 2x4-mile reps, which didn't seem like a lot of work, like on paper. But then like, as I was like programming into my watch, I'm looking at these reps, I'm like, oh wait, this first rep is faster than my half marathon PR. And then the second 4 mile rep is even faster than that. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that. And it turned out I didn't. I think I was pretty close, but it just felt like it was just a lot of working at a level of effort that I'm just not used to. And so like, I'm not sure if like how close I should have tried to stay to the pace. Like I feel like I put out maybe a little bit too much effort on that run, but I'm also just like, well, is this what working hard looks like? That's kind of where I was, you know, a little bit not confused, but like not sure, am I doing this right or not? Sandy, I don't know if you had a chance to look at some of the data from that most recent run.
Yeah, I just took a look at it again. I'll let Sage speak of this too, because that workout, like Sage fought for, I originally wanted something different. Okay.
I wouldn't have minded something different.
Yeah, I was going for a marathon paced run, and okay, like Sage and I, we both have like very similar coaching philosophies, but that's where like we have like little differences. But that was another like workout where like you were barely off the paces. But like one thing that is interesting with you, like you were okay with it until like you were putting the paces in your watch. And like one thing we kind of like both try to like get in your head before is like we really try to give you paces that we know you can do. And like looking at your heart rate data, like it is very possible that workout was like a little too hard. And like it's not that like you weren't fit enough to do it. It could just be too hard because like you got dehydrated or something was just like a little bit off. But I do want you to have more confidence going into those workouts. I like to use this example because I feel like it's easier for runners to get. If a weightlifter was going to for their one max rep, do you think they could lift as much if they went in that rep thinking they couldn't do it or thinking like I'm weak as much as they went into it thinking like I'm strong, I got this, I have confidence from past things I've done that I could get this one max rep? Or like using basketball for an example, like if Caitlin Clark took her long range threes, if she thought like, oh, I'm going to miss this, or like I can't hit this shot, like would her three-point percentage be as good as it was? And so like, again, very well, it could have been too hard, but I also think it's really important to go in with the right mindset and really just trying to have some belief in yourself that you can do it.
Those are good analogies to other sports, Sandy. Yeah, I'd say like, I think the mindset needs to be that your half marathon PR pace is faster than 124. You want to think like a 122 guy. So instead of thinking, oh, my half marathon pace is 6:30 per mile, you want to think it's 6:25 per mile. And then hopefully your true lactate threshold tempo pace is 6:20 per mile. It's a hard effort. It's close to 90% max heart rate type of effort. And sometimes it could be harder than others because like you just ran an 80-mile week before that. So
just sometimes when like people like are just missing these workouts at the end of a marathon cycle, it might indicate you should do a bigger taper. And so we might go in and adjust your training plan after this. So I just wanted to throw that out there to give people a tip of what maybe they should do if they can't hit a workout they think they should. But again, like you were very, very close to hitting that workout.
I also noticed you wore the, it says on Strava, the Saucony Endorphin Pro 4. Mm-hmm. Not the lightest type of super shoe. I don't know how you felt in that shoe, but I was like, that the shoe could make a difference of 5 seconds a mile easy. So there's that too.
I was, I felt pretty good about the first rep because it was like 6:28 to 6:24. I'm like, I think I could do that. I think I'm in better shape than when I ran my half marathon PR in January. I don't want to blame the shoe too much. I think the Endorphin Pro 4 is a pretty good shoe. It's not a shoe that would be my first choice for racing in right now. And so like it's a shoe that I needed to get some testing miles in, and I felt like this would be a good opportunity for it. And I felt good enough about it both during before and after. I was like, yeah, it's a pretty good shoe. But still, you know, not kind of like what I'd use for doing some threshold reps earlier in the week, and probably not the shoe that I feel like the absolute best in. So maybe there's a little bit to be said about that one. But I do think that I went into at least rep two pretty scared. And I think that's for a lot of any time that you guys have written like a 2 mile rep at like faster than half marathon effort, that's just what I know that's how I've been going into all the reps, especially when it's not the first one. Because usually the first one is like, oh, that was a lot of work. That's hard to get. And then it's like, oh, 5 minute recovery. That seems like a lot, but then it goes by fast. And then you're like, all right, here we go again. It's going to be another long one. And so like that's been the kind of the mental part of it. And I think that's part of like, these are all things that I've been kind of ignoring because I don't like them. And so it's like, I know I'm not as familiar with them. I've gotten very good at 6x6 minutes. That's my favorite workout. I gotten very good at long runs because I've been doing those for a while. But it's just these kind of in-between workouts that are long-ish and longer at the same time that I'm still like, oh, I don't have the experience in them, I guess, where I feel as confident in them. And so that's, I think, a big part of it. But at the same time, I also don't want to be like, I just have to will my way through it and then I'll be fine. I feel like I've done that in races before, and that has led to a lot of kind of early troubles in those races too. So that's kind of like, it's a lot of fear mindset going into these, and I'm trying to, you know, break through, but, you know, it's hard.
I think that's beautiful self-awareness. And like, we all have things we need to work on. For me, like, as often it's like shorter intervals where like, I like to, like, I feel good about cruising on tempos, but like, we all have things we need to work on, but like having that self-awareness and knowing you need to work through it, like, that's the key to me. And like, you enjoy running. And so this is just something you can work on for years to come and continually get better at.
You did a great job coaching yourself, before your 256 at Tokyo last year. I mean, that's a tall order, when we say, okay, we're going for a PR now from that. And you know, it, truth be told, it might take a couple training cycles for new training stimulus to really kick in, especially if you're not used to it. But that's kind of the continual challenge of training, is we do want to change things up for you, create new stimulus, build that running economy or efficiency at faster and faster paces, be it 6:30 per mile pace, 6:20 per mile pace, even if your goal marathon pace is 6:40 per mile pace, right? So it's a lot of accumulating a lot of miles at, you know, 10, 15, 20 seconds per mile faster than goal marathon pace. But I mean, you did a great job. You know, the 6x6 is a really good workout on paper, and you've nailed those, and it shows that hopefully you're getting that lactate threshold pace down to closer to 6:20 per mile pace. Because if you get it down there, then 6:40 per mile pace is going to feel a lot more comfortable at mile 20 in the middle of a marathon. So, you know, being afraid during workouts, I've always been afraid during some workouts. I get so nervous before some workouts. I'm like sick the day before, just like almost like throwing up on the side of the track before some workouts. Like that's a normal thing, or at least I've experienced that a lot over my career, running in college, running at Hanson's Brooks. There'd be some workouts you just see it on paper and shake your head and just be like, how am I going to do this? And sometimes you hit it, sometimes you don't.
It may help to work with a sports psychologist.
maybe. I mean, this last one, it definitely took me a little bit to get out of the car, you know, cause I'm like, all right, I'm here. All right. Once I get out of the car, that means I got to start running this, you know? And so like it's fun because it's like, it's exciting, it's new, it's a challenge. And those things are all enjoyable. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, I know this is going to hurt. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, the way I think that to break through and I always think that running scared is not a great way to do it. I feel like, you know, running scared and running angry are kind of like two sides of the same coin. And ultimately, you know, like it's not going to be the best way for me to perform. But I feel like the way to get through it is to, like, you know, to have these tough workouts. And I feel like, you know, to an extent, for a while, I was like, are they intentionally writing workouts that are too hard to see what the breaking kind of point is? Because I was like, well, that's how you know where the limit kind of is. And you can kind of, how else are you going to get data in terms of what your body feels as you're getting to those edges, unless you get to the edges? And so that's kind of how I was feeling. And for this last one, I definitely felt like, you know, warning bells were going off. My legs were starting to hurt, but then I was like, no, we still got a mile and a half left in this rep, so we got to keep going. And I was like, my lungs feel fine. They're good. I'm a little bit, you know, I'm definitely huffing and puffing, but the lungs feel fine. And just the legs just hurt a little bit, and not in an injury kind of way, but in a fatigue kind of way. So I was just like, it just hurts. That's all. So just keep going, you know? And so that was kind of like, all right, this is a thing that I'm supposed to be feeling here. And I felt like, all right, experience it, know it, and like realize you can still keep going. And so that's kind of like what I'm trying to forget about the times and just take that part away from the workout.
Yeah, that's great. Like, I love how you talk yourself through it, and that matters a ton. And like an example I like to give to prove this point home, is like, if somebody has a heart rate monitor, that works pretty well. Like, if you think of something that like really makes you anxious, you will see your heart rate go up. But if you think of something like that's a little bit more calmer, like you'll see your heart rate go down. So like it physically makes a difference. And that's kind of like what you did for your workout. You like, you talked yourself down so you could keep going and still have a solid workout.
I think your heart rate got up to about 173. I saw on the, okay, near the end of the rep. But I mean, these definitely should hurt. Like, you should be huffing and puffing, and you should feel like your legs are going to fall off at the end of some of these workouts. Like it should be a struggle. And it's not, you know, you don't want to strain all the time, but like some of these workouts, like we're really pushing the envelope for sure. But I think your strength as a runner, from what I've seen, just given your relative PRs and how you adapt to workouts, like you're definitely more of a marathoner. I know you don't have a ton of experience probably racing the mile all out or 5K. But I think you're probably, if I had to guess, like if we did a muscle biopsy in your leg, you'd probably be more slow twitch muscle fiber. I think I'm also probably slow twitch, maybe Sandy too. So like our marathon PRs could be way better than our half marathon PRs, which is equivalent, like way better than our 5K PR, right? You get a lot of beginner runners, say like a high school runner or something, maybe they could run a 16, 17 minute 5K, right? Like a super fast 5K, but they're not going to be able to touch a 3 hour marathon because they don't have the stamina and endurance yet. And, you know, that could be built up over time and with age and experience and high mileage training, a lot of zone two training. But I think your natural strengths probably are more in the marathon distance rather than maybe an all out 5K. I don't know yet because you haven't raced a ton of 5Ks like on a track, but if I had to guess, your marathon PR is definitely the strongest one out of all your other times and PRs. And so you could get relatively close to your half marathon pace for the full marathon, just because you have that stamina. And part of it's genetics, part of it's natural ability, but a lot of it's hard work and high mileage training and getting that aerobic system ramped up. So yeah, good work there.
Thanks. I mean, I think I would agree with that. I think that's where kind of my strength lies. It's definitely not fast twitch. Nothing that's one lap or less. That's not going to be my strength. But I also feel like it kind of like circles back to something you mentioned earlier in terms of like, you know, sometimes it takes a couple of training cycles before you really get the adaptations. Is I've been focusing on the marathon pretty much almost exclusively for like the last 5 or 6 years. And so like, I think that some of these other kind of reps that you're throwing at me is stuff that I haven't been doing pretty much in any of that time. And some of these shorter distances, which I would like to work on it. It's one of those things. It's like, I always want to work on a faster 5K. You never end up doing it. But, you know, this summer, I think that's something kind of I'd like to take a closer look at, is something that's measured maybe in meters rather than Ks. And so just to like give my body a chance to see if putting some more work in there over a more serious amount of time rather than, oh, well, there's 4 weeks before I have to start training for my next marathon. Let's see how fast I can get. I mean, I think something I need to dedicate a little bit more time on kind of rounding myself out a little bit better. And I feel like this block is a great start in terms of building on some of those other kinds of speed, but I'm ultimately not sure how much it's going to translate in the immediate kind of like in this race necessarily.
Actually, I have a question for you. Just like looking at Tokyo, going back to that, you started off around like some, like you had some like low 630 miles. Is that correct? Like, was your Strava right on that?
In the race?
Yeah.
No, that would have been wrong. 'Cause in Tokyo, I feel like the first couple of miles were closer to 730s because it was really congested.
And
I was very far back. And so like I was very much easing into the race. It was so slow that I was worried that I'm like, oh, I don't know if today's going to be a good day to run fast, because I'd start out so slow. But I've always found that like if I kind of sneak my way to faster miles at the end rather than try to hit like even splits straight out of the gate, that I tend to be able to kind of like just surprise myself kind of at the end. Like I can then push past what my kind of like, even I think I finished, well, the last mile was rough, but like towards the end I was able to run much faster than kind of what my target pace would be for a target amount of effort. And I've seen that in a couple of the long runs too, where that I've done with you guys, where, you know, I had my watch set up so that way if it was like a long multi-mile rep, it would just give me the average pace for the entire rep. And so I'm like, all right, well, I got to fix this rep and get like 3 seconds per mile faster in the next, say, like half mile or mile or so. And so then I would just slowly kind of crank down. And for me, easing into it lets me then crank down real hard towards the end. And so that's kind of like how I like to race a little bit. But also like that's what happened in Tokyo too. And so that was kind of like an accidental proof of concept. So that's what happened in that race.
Okay. Oh, that's smart. Were you running some like 6:30 miles though?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
there was times where I got like, just like caught up in the group, you know, and then I caught up with, and that was also confusing because there was multiple like 3-hour pace groups. And I was like, wait, how am I behind a 3-hour pace group? And then I realized, oh, there's like 7 of them in this race. And so, and they all started at different times. And so like pacing was a little bit weird. And after a while, just like, I'm just going to stop caring. I'll just click the watch every 5K and whatever it is. But like, you know, like I need to figure out effort rather than like, what is everybody else doing? So that's why some of the pacing in Tokyo was got kind of weird.
No, I actually like thought you like your pacing was pretty good. Like I can see like the first part was slow, but like what I wanted to point out is like you must have seen those splits and still felt confident enough to keep going at those paces. Like were you ever like, oh, like this is faster than my target pace. This is like too hard. Like it sounds like you were actually like pretty confident in what you were doing.
I don't know if confidence is the right word. I would probably say incredulous. So like basically anytime the watches gives me a bad split, I'm like, oh, I'm falling apart. Every time it gives me a good one, I'm saying, oh, it must be off. So that's kind of my mindset when looking at the watch. And so, for me, I had been doing a lot of my long runs, like, all right, this many miles at marathon effort and whatever the clock shows. To kind of get away from trying to like micromanage pace, because that just freaks me out all the time. And so like, you know, sometimes if it ends up being fast, and it might bite me in the butt. Last year at Boston, I kind of ran what felt right and it ended up being a little bit too hot. But I did that in Tokyo and it ended up being just right. So like sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But that's kind of, I usually don't pay too much attention to the splits.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to note that like Tokyo wasn't too much before Boston, right? So like maybe you're still recovering, but I do like that for you, that you were so like chill about your paces and you were more, you felt comfortable going by effort. So like if there were some like fast splits, like it's like your attitude was really good. I actually really like that plan for you. Sage, Boston's, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say Boston's a beast to pace too. It's a lot more dynamic and different compared to like a flatter marathon, like, you know, London, Chicago. Tokyo was relatively flat. So like, yeah, the pacing is totally different in a hilly marathon, especially Boston.
All right. But like now, since we're talking about some pacing, let's talk about like race plan for London now. I will put it out there and like, so I kind of told you how I like kind of like to run races is kind of like sneak up to that PR at the end. Not necessarily planning on negative splitting, but like with the idea that I can crank down more effectively and really push if some of the earlier miles are less intense. I feel like I'm not necessarily, I feel like I'm in PR fitness, but I don't know if that's going to translate to PR time. 258, 257 kind of stands out to me as kind of where I'm feeling. Maybe that's a confidence issue. I'm not sure. I've looked at the course a little bit. I know there's a couple of nice downhills in the front half of the race, but race plan wise, what are your guys' thoughts on where I should stand to line up on the day and how to execute?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky thing to predict. We can't always guarantee people PRs. Mm-hmm. I think you could PR. It'd definitely be risky to go out too fast. Like, you know, if you went out at 250 pace, that'd probably be a bad idea. You know, I'd have the confidence that you could definitely be running a lot of 630s, 640s. But yeah, it's always better to start off on the and warm up into it. A lot of people, they start off too fast. They're rolling really fast through the half. And then, you know, there's absolute, you bonk basically, or hit the wall. It could be the last 10K, it could be the last 10 miles if it's a really bad day. So you definitely don't want to do that. That being said, we always tell people not to bank on a negative split unless it's like some crazy downhill race. You know, I've run 16, 17 road marathons in my career. I've only negative split one out of all those, Honolulu. But you know, if you bank on an even pace or a slight positive split, that's usually what yields the best results. So we're talking about, you know, maybe you slow down a little in the last 10K because you're getting tired, you're hitting the wall, you're rigging up. But overall, that second half split was only a minute or two slower than your first half split. Now you have the potential to even split it, even half marathon splits, but you know, it is tricky, depending on the crowds and how you're feeling and, you know, how you're fueling and hydrating. I would definitely start off, I think you still want to start off in the 640s though, would be my take, and then see how you feel from there. You really don't know where you stand in a marathon until you get to like mile 20. Usually I'd say, like, you could have a bad patch at mile 15. You could start going too fast at mile 16. It's, you know, it's pretty dynamic. You've run a lot of marathons, so you know, but usually when I get to mile 20, 22, you kind of know where you stand. But by then it's kind of too late to make any drastic pace changes, right? So you have to be relatively close to what you want to average for, you know, at least going into the half split. Coach Sandy, what do you think?
Taking into account what both of you said, because I think, Mike, what you said about how you like to run marathons is very important. Like, I acknowledge, like, that's what gives you confidence. So with both of what things you said in mind, I actually think somewhere around your current PR pace would be a good starting point. But, you know, London's a big marathon. If you're stuck in crowds, I don't want you to waste energy weaving in and out of people. And so, like, and now you have confidence from Tokyo of being in that situation where it took you all to break free, that if you start off slow, you can be okay. So that's my two cents.
Okay. So then I think that puts me at like mid 640s then, starting out, something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
I think,
yeah, 645.
I don't think that'll be possible with traffic back where I'm starting. I think it'll still be pretty congested, but I think ultimately, I think people that are where I'm standing are going to be pretty eager to get moving as soon as they can. And so, I'll try to stand a little bit ahead of that 3-hour pace group, and then hopefully I'll never see them again.
Yeah.
And then we'll just hold on to it from there, assuming the weather, you know, cooperates. And I know this. The course will be fast, and I know that the crowds will be definitely be there. So it's just a matter of me being able to line it up and get it done.
Yeah, I mean, it's you definitely don't want to be like running 620s at probably any point unless it's the last mile, because you know, you start playing with fire if you start, you know, cracking 630. So you definitely don't want to get too excited in the middle and go too fast. A lot of people, they feel really good near the halfway point or near mile 15, and they just start cranking, and then it comes back to bite them in the last 10K. Whereas, as you know, if you're just within 10 seconds a mile of your average pace in the last 10K, you're usually blowing by people, because the vast majority of people, myself included in marathons, have rigged up extremely hard in the last 10K, last 8K. So it's just about, you know, you could pass a lot of people definitely in that second half in the last 10 miles, and especially in the last 10K, if you're just being relatively consistent, you're taking care of yourself, you're staying relatively hydrated and fueled, you're not getting blisters, stuff like that. But you definitely do want to keep the throttle in check in that first half, especially.
Okay. One last topic before we close out for today. Can we talk a little bit more about the taper? Now, Sandy, you had mentioned you might want to extend it a little bit. Given that I wasn't able to hit some of those paces that we had set out there, I normally go with like a 10-day taper, because I worry that, like, if I've previously taken my foot off the gas too much, And then my body goes into, oh, we're done working. Let's rebuild. Let's hibernate. Let's start getting ready for like the next one because the work here is done. And so I've always kind of like tried to keep a little bit of the foot on the gas going into the taper. What do you guys have planned for the taper coming up?
Currently, it's not a super aggressive taper. I typically never, unless I think somebody really needs it, I stray away from very aggressive tapers. So I think what like what you've been doing is fine. Like you kind of know what works for you. You're like, you're experienced.
I mean, we're not extending it beyond 2 weeks because we're 2 weeks out now, but we generally view the last 2 weeks as the taper phase. How much you actually taper is a very individual thing. And the way we have it is you're still doing a medium long run next weekend. So even a week out, we actually consider that 13 miler, I think it was, 13 to 14 on Saturday as like a medium long run. So we're not cutting, we didn't cut out the long run. It should be an easy long run. You don't want to do anything hard. You're not going to do anything to really boost your fitness in terms of high intensity, hard workouts, hard long run workouts in the last 10 days for sure. Like you could do a VO2 max workout 10 days out and maybe it'll kick in before the race. But the biggest adaptation is you're resting up for super compensation. So the taper is all about, you know, staying healthy, staying hydrated, still doing some stuff though. We still have a couple workouts. We're still going to be touching on stuff in the low 6 minute mile pace range. We've just kind of cut the volume. So the intensity is still there. We want to keep the metabolism up. We want to keep the muscle tension up. We want to keep stimulating fast twitch muscle fibers. But the mileage will take a cut, and it mainly takes the biggest cut in the last week. So it's more, you know, it's pretty dynamic. It's not just, okay, you're running super low mileage. You still have over 50 miles to run, 55 miles to run this week. So you're not, it's not a huge taper, but it will get more aggressive, especially in the last week.
Yeah. Okay. It's always like a balance between like maintaining fitness while recovering from really the past few months of training.
All right. I think the tricky part for me is I'm going to go into Boston first the week beforehand. So it's going to be tough. And I did take a peek at the schedule ahead. I did notice there's a couple of 2 mile at threshold reps.
We might be changing that. Okay. Just talking to Stanley about that earlier today.
Okay. I think that's going to, I'm going to have to talk to you guys offline a little bit about that too, because some of my days are scheduled a little bit difficult for when the workout is, but, that's going to be a big concern for me is, you know, just trying to remember that I'm tapering too. I'm super excited for everything that's happening in Boston, but that's kind of part of my job. And trying to remember that I need to be recovering, especially when, like, you know, some of the more celebratory stuff starts to happen. I have to remember, you know, I'm still working. So it's not time for that yet. Well, there'll be time for that in London later.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge challenge.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sandy.
A tip I always give people when like they're in that situation, just like carry a water bottle with you at all times. Cause not only does it remind you to like stay hydrated, just like a reminder, like, oh, I have a race next week.
Yeah. Okay. That'll be good. I'll definitely do that. I'll definitely keep the water bottle with me at all times. All right. I think that's a good place to leave it for today, guys. Thanks so much for all of your help throughout this training block. Hopefully I won't mess it up for you guys and we can put together a good race in a couple of weeks from now. Yeah, I'm feeling good.
You should be super proud of yourself for trying new stuff. Like you never like bailed on a workout. You always got out there and gave it a good shot. And there's a lot of growth in just showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. You've been doing awesome. So I'd be confident and stay healthy and have fun with it.